Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In Syria and Turkey, search and rescue teams are working to find survivors of the massive 7.8 magnitude earthquake that struck early Monday morning. More than 5,000 people are dead so far, and the World Health Organization estimates the death toll could surpass 20,000. Let's bring in NPR international correspondent Rob Schmitz in Istanbul. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Deepa.
So the images coming out are just horrifying. So much destruction. And the earthquake happened in the middle of winter for Turkey and Syria. The already freezing temperatures are expected to drop below zero. Tell us how the extreme cold is affecting search and rescue efforts.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we've got temperatures below 25 degrees Fahrenheit, and we've also got snow or freezing rain throughout the region. And what this means for rescue workers in both Turkey and Syria is that their work is about as urgent as it can get. There are many people still alive under the rubble of residential buildings throughout this region. And when it gets this cold, hypothermia begins to set in. So this makes the rescue efforts even more desperate.
The Turkish government says more than 13.5 million people across the country have been impacted by the earthquake. What about those who've been displaced? Have people been able to find shelter?
Yeah, that's another very large problem here. You've got around 13.5 million people in Turkey, but you have millions more in northwest Syria. And that's a region that has already been devastated by a civil war and where most rescue teams can't even access now. And from yesterday morning, we've got a situation where thousands upon thousands of people are suddenly homeless, or if their home is still standing, they don't want to go back into it because, according to Turkey's government, there have been more than 300 aftershocks, some of them big enough to topple more buildings. There are many people sleeping in their cars as a result, and Turkey's emergency management agency called AFAD is setting up large tents for many people. But across the border in Syria, they simply don't have this type of organized help, so finding shelter is a very big concern.
I was reading, Rob, these aftershocks that you mentioned, more than 300, that some are quite big, 4.5 magnitude. I'm wondering how the damage from the earthquake compares to the effects of others that have hit the area in the past.
Well, Turkey lies at the convergence of two major fault lines on the Anatolian plate. So the region is not a stranger to earthquakes, but they're typically not as big as this one was. In fact, the last time Turkey had an earthquake this size was in 1939, when a 7.8 magnitude quake killed 30,000 people in northeastern Turkey. There was a 7.4 quake that hit in 1999 that many people here remember, and that killed 17,000 people and caused all sorts of damage. But this week's earthquake definitely ranks among the country's biggest in terms of magnitude.
And what do people need on the ground right now? Is their aid reaching those who need it most?
They need shelter. They need heat. They need drinking water, food, bedding, warm clothes, items that'll help keep them warm while they won't have a home to return to. Turkey's Emergency Management Agency has sent cargo planes to the area with all of these things. But the problem is that it's taking too long to reach the worst hit areas. And we're hearing complaints that the Turkish government should be mobilizing faster given the dire situation that so many people have found themselves in.
Yeah. And the Turkish president has declared a state of emergency in 10 Turkish provinces for 3 months. Is there any sense of how this might impact the upcoming elections in Turkey? They were supposed to be held in May.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't thinking about that right now, but this is certainly a test for this longstanding political leader. And it's disasters like this that can either show a leader's effectiveness or show a state's vulnerabilities under that leader. So it's a little early to tell, I think, which direction this disaster will lead him. But so far, we've heard some complaints about how Turkey's Emergency Management Agency is not there on the ground yet, while people are trapped and rescue crews are doing all they can to save lives.
Yeah, and let's focus on Syria for just the very last part of this. More than 4 million people there already receiving humanitarian aid because of the war that's been ongoing for more than a decade. I imagine this just hits even harder for the Syrian people who are already suffering so much.
Yeah, and I think that's where this story is going, unfortunately. I mean, the situation for how dire it is here in Turkey is far worse in Syria, and that's because you know, that part of the country was hit hard by the quake, and it suffered so long because of the civil war. And because of that, there simply isn't any infrastructure to provide emergency care, electricity, food, water in places like Aleppo and Idlib. You know, they're left with nothing. People are sleeping in mosques and they don't have fuel. They don't have water. They're lacking the essentials to simply survive. And the only road that the UN authorizes to carry supplies from Turkey to northwest Syria has been damaged by the quake. So it's quickly turning into a humanitarian crisis.
NPR international correspondent Rob Schmitz in Istanbul. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you.